Once again, the racism charge has been raised regarding opposition to our president. We'll tackle it head on today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to make a proposition today. I want to put something forward. Can we be mature enough to have a serious and honest discussion? I know not everyone listening shares my faith and shares the beliefs that I have. I know the vast majority, the great majority listening do. We have in common our faith in Jesus and our love for God and the Scriptures. But I want to appeal to everyone listening. Can we be mature enough to have a serious discussion about a serious, difficult issue, and all sides, my side, your side, if we're on different sides or if we're on the same side, we make the determination if the shoe fits, we wear it. If there is a criticism to be lodged against me, or a criticism to be lodged against one of you, or a criticism to be lodged against a particular party, that if the shoe fits, we wear it. Can we be mature enough to do that today? Oh, what are we going to talk about? Well, it's going to get very interesting, I think, but I'm determined to be constructive. This is one of these issues which part of me says don't bother with, don't tackle. It's going to do more harm than good. But the other part of me says, no. Of course, we've got to be mature, especially as the people of God, to be able to talk through these issues. I'm talking specifically about issues about racist charges. Are people opposing President Obama because they're racist? Or is there reverse racism? Is the racism going the other direction? Now, I'm going to put a few questions out to you in a moment, but get ready with the phone number. It's 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or online, AskDrBrown.org, or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where you can weigh in with your comments as long as you are one of the Facebook fans there. I had a wonderful time this past weekend ministering on Long Island, also getting to take my mom out for her 89th birthday and my sister out for her 60th birthday, so got to go out with the family on Saturday night. But around there was constant ministry, two meetings Saturday morning, and then 8:30, 10:30, 12:30 Sunday, and then 6:30 Sunday, a full day, and then got up early this morning to fly back to be here for the broadcast in North Carolina. But I say all that, well, aside from it was wonderful to see old friends, and I decided that I've got my favorite new phrase, the favorite phrase that just kind of brings a smile to my face when I meet people and they say, I listen to you every day. A lot of folks I met on the island at the church where I ministered over the weekend, Bethlehem Assembly of God, quite a few people that came up to me and said, I listen to you every day. And I thought, that's my new favorite phrase. That's encouraging. I'm blessed to hear that. But on the way to the airport with my friend Pastor Steve, longtime ministry colleague, on the way to the airport, we were talking about multi-ethnic ministry. We were talking about how wonderful it is to have a multi-ethnic church and how important it is in his heart as an Italian-American to have a multi-ethnic church, and how he loves the people from the different nations. What was it, 30, 40 different nations represented there? And what a blessing that is. And he was talking with great joy about his associate pastor, who's from Liberia, black man from Liberia. And we were just talking about the beauty and wonder of multi-ethnic ministry. That's my heart. That's his heart. I've had the privilege of ministering around the world. Our grads serve in different nations all around the world with people of different nations, and it's never dawned on anybody to say, well, what's the skin color? What's the ethnicity? If there are people that need the Lord, we go and serve them. However, in the coming months, this issue of racism is really going to come up hot and heavy, and we need to talk it through. We're going to come back and listen to comments you may have heard already, very controversial comments from actor Morgan Freeman, and then we're going to tackle this issue. 866-34-TRUTH. Don't go anywhere.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to open up this can of worms, but I'm going to do it in a constructive way. I'm going to do it in a way that we can hear from each other honestly, okay? I want to encourage those of you who are going to disagree with what I have to say to explain as clearly and rationally as you can why you disagree. If you agree with me, same thing. Try to weigh in as clearly and rationally as to why you agree with my position. But I want to air both sides as much as possible. I want to discuss this as openly as possible, especially for those of us who call ourselves brothers and sisters in the Lord, who claim to have a unity that transcends race and ethnicity. Let's see if we can talk through a difficult issue. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me frame this for you first. I've mentioned this a few times, but I don't want to presume you've all heard me share this. When I was on the air, not in all the stations I'm on now, but a few years back, during the Democratic primaries for the presidential election, I took issue one day with something that Mr. Obama had said when he was Senator Obama. And I think it was about the third time total that I had mentioned his name. I had previously taken issue with something that John McCain said. In fact, the first politically related statement was John McCain said such and such, and I differed with him over it. And then I differed with something with President Obama, who was then Senator Obama. And a caller called in, African-American, and said to me, "Why do you have to bring up race all the time?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Whenever I call in, you're bashing Obama." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Who's bringing up race?" I really had no clue what she was talking about. And she said, "Well, you're always bashing Obama." I said, "Well, first thing, I'm not always bashing him. And if you listen to the show regularly, you know that's absolutely not the case. This is not some conservative talk radio where I'm just trying to bash people. But that's the first thing." I said, "But actually, I took issue with Senator McCain first. Then I took issue with Mr. Obama." I said, but hang on. I said, "I disagree with something Senator Obama said because it was a moral issue, very, very important moral issue to me." I said, "But Alan Keyes, he's a black man. I agree with what he said on the issue. So how is this racist?" I said, "Or for example, I disagree with Hillary Clinton on something, but I agreed with Sarah Palin." I said, "So it's got nothing to do with gender." Well, anyway, I would hear this from a number of people. And then one caller called in, also an African-American woman, which it's just important to know that detail. And she said to me, she said, "I'm old enough to remember the speeches of Martin Luther King." And because I was doing a show, "Can we separate politics from race?" And she said to me, "It's a spiritual stronghold that can only be broken through prayer." And she told me that when she would sit with her friends in church who were praying for Mr. Obama to be elected, not praying, "God, have your way in the election," but specifically praying for him to be elected, and share with him what his views were, say, about homosexuality or abortion, they would say, "No, we don't believe that. You can't believe what the media is telling you." She said, "It's a spiritual stronghold." Now, look, I'm 100% sure there are spiritual strongholds all across the board. There are spiritual strongholds in the Jewish community, spiritual strongholds in the Asian community, spiritual strongholds in the white community, spiritual strongholds in the black community. We all have our blind spots, our weaknesses, universally, okay? But what has grieved me now is that any difference with Mr. Obama, any criticism of our president is now being perceived as racial. There are whites who are saying this and blacks who are saying this. Okay, so this is across the board, people that support President Obama. When there's strong criticism against him, they're saying, "Well, that's just racism. It's racism that's trying to knock him out." And certainly, Morgan Freeman, a well-known actor on Piers Morgan, aired Friday night, weighed in and said this very same thing. Now, before we play the clip, let me point something out. He accuses the Tea Party of racism. I can't tell you exactly where the Tea Party stands on different issues. I've never been to a Tea Party meeting. I don't identify as part of any party, Republican, Democrat, or Tea. But it's striking that in the Florida straw poll that just took place a few days back, that it was Herman Cain, a black man, who was overwhelmingly the lead vote getter. 37%? And Governor Perry, who really courted the people in the straw poll, was a distant second, and then behind him, Romney and Michelle Bachmann, kind of tanked out at the bottom. So you've got a lot of people, undoubtedly Tea Party people, and the one that they overwhelmingly chose in the Florida straw poll was none other than Herman Cain, a black man. To me, if there's a race issue, it's coming from the side of those supporting President Obama, not those opposing him. To me, if someone voted for Mr. Obama because of skin color, okay, and has a hard time with seeing criticism of him separated from skin color, that to me would be a racist viewpoint. Not opposing him and saying, look, I voted for him. I didn't, but many would say, I voted for him. I thought he was doing, he was scoring great on the approval charts. I wanted him to do well, but I differ with him. Now I'm getting called racist. That's not fair, especially when you've got these Florida straw poll results where this tremendous support for Herman Cain, a black man. Is he not black enough because he's not liberal or he's not Democrat? I mean, is that how it gets viewed? So I want to talk this through. If you think I have a blind spot, I want you to tell me rationally why. If you agree with me, I want you to tell me rationally why. But we're not attacking people. We're going to talk this through. So listen to this clip from Morgan Freeman on Piers Morgan.
Has Obama helped the process of eradicating racism, or has it in a strange way made it worse?
Made it worse. Look. The Tea Partiers who are controlling the Republican Party stated, and what's this guy's name? Mitch O'Connell. Is that his name, O'Connell?
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, yeah.
Mitch McConnell. Their stated policy, publicly stated, is to do whatever it takes to see to it that Obama only serves one term. What underlines that? Screw the country. We're going to do whatever we do to get this black man. We're going to do whatever we can to get this black man out of here.
But is that necessarily a racist thing?
It is a racist thing.
Is it not just Republicans? Wouldn't they say that about any Democrat?
No, because they would have gotten rid of Bill Clinton if they could have.
But they tried.
They did try, but still.
What an inflammatory comment. To me, that is dead wrong. Dead wrong. The people that want to get President Obama out of office are not doing it to destroy the country. They're doing it because they believe he's destroying the country. Just like people don't want some of the Republican candidates in and think, oh, no, if they get in, it's going to be a religious takeover. It's going to destroy the country. People feel passionately about these things. You better believe that the Republican side did their best to defeat Bill Clinton unsuccessfully. And you better believe that the Democratic side did their best to defeat George Bush unsuccessfully. So Herman Cain was asked about this, okay? There's some, he's at a live convention, so you can hear some noise in the background as he's being interviewed on Fox News. But listen to Herman Cain's response to this. Now again, for those of you that don't know Morgan Freeman, he's an African-American. For those who don't know Herman Cain, he's an African-American. Okay, just to give you clear context. Go ahead.
Morgan Freeman, the actor, has been very critical of Tea Parties and said that what they're doing is racist base, and going after it and unseating Obama has at its underpinnings racism. I'm paraphrasing here, but what do you make of that argument?
Well, first of all, I doubt if Morgan Freeman, with all due respect, who is a great actor, has he ever been to a Tea Party. Most of the people that are criticizing the Tea Parties, Neil, about having a racist element, they have never been to a Tea Party.
Well, wait a minute. So he's played a president of the United States.
Oh, great. Yeah, in a movie. This is real life out here on the campaign.
Are you offended by that?
No, I'm not offended by it. I just think that it's sad that they are so short-sighted in really understanding what the whole Tea Party citizen movement is all about. I'm not offended by it because it doesn't slow down my momentum. It doesn't slow down the reaction that I get from people. They know that I bring my message from the heart and the head, and they're responding to it.
All right, so please tell me, if the conservative Americans and those just being broadly branded as Tea Party, and then, of course, the allegation that the Tea Party controls the Republican Party, put those things aside. The conservative Americans who are passionately rejecting President Obama's policies, but who are supporting Herman Cain. How can you call them racist? How can you call their rejection of President Obama's policies racist? Look, to me, if people are bringing false inflammatory charges, and if people within the church are going to entertain those charges, that is going to be divisive and destructive. Now, I have no question you got racists out there, okay? And you get racists that hate blacks, and racists that hate whites, and racists that hate Asians and Hispanics and Jews. You know, you've got people of all backgrounds. And if somebody that they don't like is doing something they don't like, their venom will be all the more intense. The criticism of President Obama by the very people that once supported him, that's not racism. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about the accusation that conservative criticism of President Obama is a sign of racism, the fact that people want him out is a sign of racism. I can guarantee you any Republican candidate running, the Democrats would want out. Any Democratic candidate running, the Republicans would want out. That's the way it is. And there, you know how passionate some of the criticism was against George Bush? I just started to print out some of the criticism against George Bush. What if we identified anyone who criticized, and if they weren't, white American, then we'd say it was racist. I mean, no, there were issues that people differed with. I got a lot more to say about this, but I want to hear from you. And again, my issue is that these are divisive, destructive statements. And when we hold on to them within the body, we are walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Houston, Texas, you're up first.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just calling. I don't understand why color has to come into play on everything. I could care less if the man was a leprechaun. If he believes in God and Jesus Christ lives in his heart, I think that is the only thing we should be worried about. I don't understand why color has to always come into play. Always.
Yeah, you know, Brenda, I understand that there are many sensitivities because of American history, and that segregation is, you know, a recent memory to many. I understand that, but mm-hmm. if it's coloring someone's thinking, then we have to acknowledge that and move on. I understand why there's sensitivities, but I agree with you. The criticism of Mr. Obama has to do with policies. Many of the people that voted for him are now uh-huh. disappointed with him. They voted for him. Race wasn't an issue. Now that they're disappointed, race is not an issue.
Right.
So,
and it shouldn't be. No.
It shouldn't. It absolutely shouldn't be. And if it was an issue, I'd be all over it. I would be all over it. All right. Thanks for weighing in, Brenda. 866-34-TRUTH. Bill in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Hey, race definitely wasn't an issue. It was a lot to do with the fact that he was for everything I was against. As far as your issues with homosexuality, your issues with murdering babies. And a lot of people voted because they were scared about losing their money. Well, guess what? I lost a whole lot of my retirement under this guy's watch. And, I mean, come on, the guy's half white and half black. There ain't no race issue here. He's a mixed breed, the same as most of us in this country. So, And being a Christian, you can't really be prejudiced because Adam and Eve are great, 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 great grandparents. So
got it.
They got to get rid of that race issue business because it ain't there. The man doesn't manage the account correctly, and we're paying for it in a lot of ways. So that's
right.
My feeling.
Yeah, all clear. Thank you, Bill. You know, I saw the name of his city there in West Virginia. It's Harpers Ferry, and I said, is it Harpers Ferry or Harpers Ferry? I was trying to figure that out and end up creating was it Harper's Ferry or Harper's Ferry? Anyway, I ended up almost saying the Line of Ferry instead of the Line of Fire. So we're not starting a new broadcast here. Just letting you know that. Danielle in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Basically, I want to start off my comment by, because it's going to basically give like a context of a lot of what I'm saying. Number one, I am black, and I never supported Obama for the same reasons that you stated. And I did run into a lot of people when I was when the election was coming around saying that I'm not going to vote for Obama. They actually told me that I'm supposed to sell out and that I want to be white. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be white. I mean, I'm happy being what I am, but I don't agree with abortion. So I can't basically raise my hand towards it. So this is how I understand things. People try and get what they want by one or two methods. Well, by a couple of methods. One, they try and get things straightforward. So if they can't convince you straightforward, then they try to work on your emotions or guilt you into something. So if you're disagreeing with his politics now, then to get you to basically be guilted into doing what they want to and electing them for a second time, they'll pull a race card, which basically would work on a lot of people because they would say, oh, I don't want to be said about me that I'm racist, so let me go do what they want me to do anyway. So it's basically almost like a victim mentality that's still going on.
Now, Danielle, have you found any shift of opinion? Let me explain why I say that. When I initially would talk about some of the positions Mr. Obama had with regard to homosexuality and abortion and, you know, things that are very dear to my heart in terms of convictional issues, I had callers say they didn't believe that or that's not what he's going to do or give him a chance. And I said, all right, fair enough. I'm quite sure this is who he is, but let's give it a chance. Of course, he's played those things out perhaps even more radically than we thought. Have you seen any folks in your own community that were critical of you at one point, recognizing, hey, you were right in your positions?
You want to know, honestly, no, because I brought out those same issues to people who were in the church, who were like, some of them had very high positions in the church, and I'm not going to make any kind of assumptions about their spirituality because it's not for me to do that.
Right, right, but and there are many issues. Right.
But they didn't care.
Did they not care because they said there are other issues that are more important, they're national issues that are more important, or did they not care because of skin color?
I think to me it was much more of an issue of they didn't care because it was skin color.
Right. So I mean that to me, regardless of who's involved, that to me is being racist and being divisive.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why I said we have to I'm total critic of American history, you know, in terms of our treatment of other peoples, Native Americans and Africans and so on, you know, and constantly make reference to our past and you know, we can't strut around and boast about what a great Christian nation we have. So I'm not trying to defend any side, but I'm going to speak the truth even when it's unpopular. Hey, thanks for calling in, Danielle. Bless you. May truth triumph in all of our communities. Feel free to differ with me. 866-34-TRUTH. All this week, we have a really important offer. Tomorrow's broadcast, I want to talk about sickness, healing, what the Bible says about sickness and healing. I have a teaching series I did. It's about 24 hours long, 16 lectures on what the Bible says about sickness and healing, what we can expect for today. Very detailed, going through the scriptures as practically as possible, raising the difficult issues as well, looking at the vocabulary of the Hebrew and the Greek. And we normally sell this series for $50, and it includes also my 460-page book, Israel's Divine Healer, which is a very in-depth textbook. But this week, you can get the entire package, the entire lecture series on CD for your computer MP3 player, plus the book, which sells, I don't know, for probably $20-something itself, just for $35 for the entire package. I think it'll really bless you, and it's such an important issue, so we've reduced the price to try to get it out to as many as possible. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to order the series on divine healing. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Let us keep our focus on the Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We are opening up a controversial discussion. Controversial because I am concerned about racism in the body. I am concerned about racial division in the body, but this time I'm concerned with racial division and racism within the body, of course, in the world, from those who say that criticism of President Obama is race-based. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay. When there are black leaders, let's say Herman Cain, or Alan Keyes, or other black leaders, I could go on with a list of people, that take issue with President Obama. Are they, is it racial? When there are black Christian leaders, like my friend Bishop Harry Jackson, when he takes issue with President Obama, as a black bishop in the church, is that racial? Is he selling out? I mean, can you see how volatile and unnecessary and destructive these things are? I'm raising it now because it's going to get ugly in the next year. And we as God's people are going to have to talk through these issues, okay? And let me ask you this question again, then I'm going to go back to the phones. Let me ask you this question. If someone voted for Mr. Obama and said, I normally vote Democrat, because I believe they're doing more to help the poor and more for social justice. So even though I don't agree with them on abortion and homosexual issues, I'm voting Democrat for these reasons. Okay, let's just say that was your position. And then you said, and I think it would be so important to the black community in America to have a black family in the White House and to model that and to set that example and to show the sky's the limit in America. And here you've got a mom and dad with their kids together in one family. What a great image that would be. So even though I differ with him on some of these other issues, I think these outweigh it, and I would vote for him for those reasons. Okay, so I understand that. I'm not getting into a battle with you about that. But now, if no matter what his policies are or no matter how things have gone with the economy and other things, you say, well, I still support him nonetheless, and others who voted for him no longer support him. Can you possibly say that the ones who voted for him no longer support him doing it because of race? Obviously not. But you have to ask yourself, if you're unwilling to be critical, could it be because of race? I'm just putting questions out for discussion, all right? And I want you to feel free to tell me if you think I'm wrong, why, all right? James in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yeah, I was listening to your broadcast, and I agree with everything that you're saying. I just wanted to shed similar light to what you're saying, but from a little bit of a different perspective. I think with the whole Obama issue, personally, I didn't support Obama. I'm black myself. I didn't support Obama primarily because of my Christian faith. Mm-hmm. However, I think one thing that may bother people, I'm trying to see things from their side, and one thing that may bother people is the fact that I think a lot of white Americans don't acknowledge the fact that being white itself in this country is sort of, let's just say it's different. Do you see what I mean?
Privileged in certain ways. I don't think that we have total racial equality in America. And I think many whites are insensitive to the history and the fact that segregation is still, like I said, recent memory, and that there were Christian leaders that stood for segregation, you know, white Christian leaders. So I fully understand that there are issues. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to whitewash anything in that sense. You're absolutely right, sir. Tell you what, stay with me. I'm going to talk to you more on the other side of the break. We'll be back. Oh, yeah, more to come. We'll get to all your calls. Stay with us. Change the world.
Change the world. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today as we discuss the issue of racism with regard to current politics, with regard to rejection of Mr. Obama's policies. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to James in Queens, New York. So, James, I agree with you that many in the black community would see blind spots in the perceptions of the white community because we haven't walked in each other's shoes and haven't experienced certain things together. And there's certainly still a privileged place to being white in America. I don't argue with that. I also think there's reverse discrimination in different ways. But what kind of dialogue did you run into with other Christians, other black Christians like yourself, about voting for Mr. Obama the first time around? And what are you hearing now?
Okay, well, generally speaking, in my inner circle, like my close believers, my friends, they generally agree. You know, they let the Bible be the litmus test as to whom they support. However, especially those, the African-American ones, you know, they completely disagree with anyone who would not want to criticize President Obama. He should be held accountable to the things that he does, the things that he says, like just like everybody else. Right. But it's just, you know, like you mentioned before, it's sort of like this invisible censor that I think because of our experience that we sort of see just the overtone of, you know, little disrespect here and there with the "you lie" statement. It just seems as if there are certain things that it's sort of like when you have a substitute teacher come in, you know, when you were young, your substitute teacher would come in, you do more, you get away with more because the real teacher is not here. So it's sort of like that. It's just weird to
well,
explain.
You know, so let me throw this out from the other angle. Okay. Before he was elected, I said I would be thrilled to have the privilege of voting for our first black president, but I can't in good conscience vote for Mr. Obama. I wasn't thrilled with Senator McCain, but I said I can't in good conscience vote for Senator Obama to become president. But I said this. I said if he's the wrong man, it's going to do more harm than good for race relations. So many have just said he's inexperienced. He's in over his head. He's too new at this. He was a senator, for a year and a half when he started the campaign to be elected, you know, whatever the exact details were. So many others have made that criticism. So this would be if the man that is leading the nation is in over his head or didn't have sufficient experience or had radical liberal policies that are harmful to the nation, and then he's getting criticized, then people could easily mistake that for a racial attack when it could have been anybody. I mean, think when Bill Clinton was president and he had his sex scandals, which thankfully haven't happened with President Obama, but he had his sex scandals. I mean, everybody was going after him and mocking him, and it wasn't because he was white. It's because of the sex scandals, you know?
Right, but, correct. I mean, there was that. I guess what I'm saying is with President Obama, I mean, obviously this is not your view because I think you are extremely objective. So I totally agree with everything that you just said. But I think what the conservative media is pushing forward, oftentimes it seems to be more divisive, more of, you know, putting stumbling blocks along his way. And what makes it even more complicated is that that's in the midst of truth that they are actually saying.
Right.
So it's a mixture of things that are true with this undertoning of, it's just weird. Maybe it's because I'm young. I haven't really seen that many.
You know what I think it is, though, James? If you could... If you just say, listen to Rush Limbaugh when Bill Clinton was president, okay? Or then you listen mainly to MSNBC and CNN when George Bush was president. Whoever you listen to, they're bashing. The liberals are bashing the conservatives. The conservatives bashing the liberals. But listen, I'm going to get to some more calls. It's a joy talking to you. Thank you, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go back to the phones, do you know who Betty Williams is? Betty Williams, she was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Nobel Peace Prize, okay? Feisty Irish woman. She was giving a speech in Brisbane, Australia, July of 2006. And she said, I have a very hard time with this word nonviolence because I don't believe that I'm nonviolent. 64 years old, Miss Williams. Right now, she said, I would love to kill George Bush. This was talking to children, school children in Australia, and they clapped and cheered. She said, I would love to kill George Bush. All right. let's see. Activist Cindy Sheehan, in September of 2006, known as the Peace Mom, in her book that came out, it was coming out in September of that year, she said that she wanted to see Bush killed. And she said she wishes she could go back in time and kill him as an infant in order to prevent the Iraq War. Of course, she lost a son in that war. And then just May of this year, Liberal Talk host Mike Malloy said that the Navy SEALs that took out bin Laden actually should have taken out George Bush. Now, I think all three people who spoke these things were white. But the point is, could you imagine rhetoric like this being launched against President Obama now? What the outrage that would come? Just go back and look at the criticism against George Bush, at the impeached George Bush or the lynched George Bush. I remember seeing every kind of ugly bumper sticker about Bush. And let me just tell you this. If it was a black person with that bumper sticker or a white person with that bumper sticker, it never dawned on me that race was the issue. It was rather criticism of his policies or the liberal media attacking him for certain things. Whether you like him or not, I'm just using that example. But it's so striking to me that when we've had all this criticism and Rush Limbaugh bashing Bill Clinton, MSNBC and whoever, and Keith Olbermann blasting George Bush, each side blasting the other, it never had anything to do with race. Now it has to do something with race. I don't accept that for a moment. Lynn in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for letting me talk. I did not vote for Obama, and I won't be voting for him this time for some of the reasons that the gentleman said, the Christian view, and I just did not think that he was experienced enough. And nobody really knew about Obama, black in the black community. But as far as race, I see more racism among blacks than I do the whites. So I was talking to some people. I said, well, tell me one reason you would vote for Obama to be reelected. Because he's black. I said, well, that's racist. That is totally racist. And I believe the majority of blacks that voted for him only voted for him because he was black, not because of the issues. Now, in the black community, there is a lot of people who are upset with Obama. They thought because he's being black, when he got in there, that we were going to have more favor because he was black. But they see that he has done very little, really, for anybody, but I see especially the black community. I did my real research with the Tea Party. Actually, some of the views that they have, I agree with it. And a lot of other blacks, you know, a few blacks I know, agree with it. So I see the racism coming from the black people, especially the older blacks, like Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
The young blacks are just like, oh, well, I don't care. I'm just voting for him because he's black. That's what I see among the young people. And most of the blacks I know are not voting. And the ones who are, they say they may reelect him and they may not. I didn't vote for him the first time. I'm not voting for him this time. I am in totally disagreement with his policy.
Yeah.
I did not think Obama was experienced enough to be in there. He had to dig, and I just feel like right now he's just totally disconnected with the people in this country. You know, it's just like it's him. You know, I'm just not happy with him, period. And a lot of blacks feel that way, but they're kind of like some whites who don't want to be seen as a bigot or a racist.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. So, and I tell people, they say, well, white people just raised. I say, well, wait. It was a vast majority of white, Hispanic, and Asian who voted for him.
That's how he's elected.
So they cannot be racist.
Yep.
So
yeah,
I mean,
Lynn, I see it the exact same way. To me, it's unfortunate. And look, I when he was elected, I even had a show where I had people call in and ask how they were feeling. And I had a lot of African Americans call in and say how thrilled they were and excited. And I let everyone be excited. And, you know, because I still recognize it was a landmark event in America. I still recognize it was progress for this to happen in America. And it proved to me that race wasn't an issue, which I thought was really positive. Of course, I was not happy he was elected for other reasons. But when people said, well, just give it time, you have to realize how sensitive these issues are. Okay, fine. Well, you have a black president. That's been proven now. That can happen. That roof has been taken off. Now we have to go back to dealing with the issues. And if we can't, then that is something racist that we have to overcome, especially within the body. Hey, Lynn, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that perspective. And look, my goal, friends, my goal in raising these issues is to try to expose wrong thinking so that we can step higher, especially as believers, especially as believers. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, last Monday, we did a program talking about Pat Robertson's terribly unfortunate statement about divorcing a spouse with Alzheimer's and getting a fresh new start. And I only planned on covering that the first hour, had some other things for the second hour, but it created such a firestorm of response. I decided to stay with it into the second hour. I'm going to do the same today, which means even if you call in at the end of this hour, maybe you won't be having the show aired live in your city and we'll be in other cities, you can still stay on the line and we'll do our best to get to as many callers as possible into the next hour as we discuss the issue of criticism of the president. Is it right to call it racist, or is that itself a racist perspective? My reason for raising this is to call us to step higher in the body, and if the shoe fits, to wear it. If there's error on one side, the other side, let's acknowledge it. Let's humble ourselves. Let's ask the Lord to show us our blind spots, and let's move forward. Otherwise, we'll never have progress. So I'm going to take the risk of alienating some folks by discussing this, but it's important that we do, and I trust you hear my heart. I'm not really worried about alienating people, because if you listen to me, you'll hear my heart and the truth of what I'm saying. 866-34-TRUTH. Kristen in Lorton, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I'm glad you're taking my call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I agree with a lot of what a lot of your callers have said already, so I think it would be redundant for me to go over. But James and Danielle, they were pretty good, pretty on point. I'm a black woman near D.C., and I was not even able to vote in the election because the state of Florida would not send me my absentee ballot. So Florida messed me up, but had I been able to vote, I would have preferred to vote for Hillary Clinton, but she wasn't on the ballot. So therefore, for
is that me, because she was a woman and you're a woman? Of course
that's
not.
That's because she would be the best. To me, she has the most experience in the race. I trust her more. I know where she's coming from. She has a lifetime of political history that pretty much falls in lines with things that I would allow her to run my country.
Right, and if I said to you, well, no, you're just voting for her because she's a woman, that would be quite an unfair insult to you, correct?
That would be an unfair insult, but it wouldn't be completely inaccurate.
Oh, okay.
Because I would vote for her. If she was a woman that I disdain, like Sarah Palin, then, ooh, I would be insulted. You'd even call her a woman, but she wasn't. So she's Hillary, and I love her. And yes, I would have voted for her because she was a woman, in addition to the fact that she has political views that are in line with mine. Now, if people want to say that President Obama is not doing what he's supposed to, and that's their right. That's what we, you know, First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that necessarily makes the comments racist or the intent racist or whatever, but when we as a body get together to make sure that our leaders are prayed over and protected and covered by the blood, if that's what they say they are, then we're not going to allow them to be disparaged by being depicted as monkeys and such, that they're not doing that to George Bush and George Bush. And
you don't think George Bush was depicted as being a monkey? Have you ever seen, because he had big ears, he was depicted as being a monkey all the time.
Okay, but dig this from a Negro. I don't consider myself an African-American because there are a lot of Africans in America, who are African Americans. I'm a Black American, and our history with the depiction of ourselves as apes or monkeys is not a good thing, and it only stands for one thing. And regardless of if you depict Yo-Yo Ma as a monkey as opposed to George Bush, it does not have the same connotation. It does not represent the same thing. And to pretend
who's doing that, though, Kristen? I mean, I would personally be offended with either one being painted as a monkey, and I think it's because of big ears that they both have, actually. Kristen, just hang on. I need you to help me with something.
Okay.
I can't Google it right now.
But
because that's nothing I've heard in terms of any type of.
Really?
I've never seen the Tea Party.
Okay, well, you got to get your Google Pete or somebody to Google that.
But that's okay. The fact that there may be certain insensitive attacks has nothing to do with 99% of the criticism.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But like you said, as we as the body of Christ, we have to get together. And I'm not a Bible aficionado, but I know that we're supposed to pray for our leaders to do God's will. And we need to unite as one body and get him the way that we need him to be and the way the word tells us we should all be. So you can talk as much smack as you want. That doesn't say you hate Black people because he's Black and you don't
I got one question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
We're about to, out of the broadcast, but I'm intrigued by something because, you know, wanting to pray, wanting to be part of the body, honor the Lord. You spoke with such disdain about Sarah Palin. Tell me real quick, what is it that you so disliked about Sarah Palin? Because I thought she held to a lot of strong...
I don't like the fact that she left her state. You know, she just withdrew from her governorship. She didn't finish her task.
Okay.
I don't take her really seriously because she's just as inexperienced as President Obama as far as wanting to be a president. Like I said, I would prefer Hillary because
I know
that
answered my question. You spoke of her with such disdain. I was wondering, perhaps you didn't speak about her in the most Christian tone. Just something to think about, all right?
It was not, but it has nothing to do with her character. I just think that there's a lot of hype around her.
All clear. Hey, I have white female Christian friends who don't like her either. So
there you go.
All right. Thanks for the call, Kristen. All right, I appreciate it. All right. Hey, folks, stay on the line. I'm going to be taking calls into the next hour. And I'm going to heat this subject up once again. Let me say once more that the most important thing we can do in our differing viewpoints now in what is going to be a very hot and divisive 12, 13 months leading up to the elections is to sit down and talk. I am not going to divide over Democrat versus Republican. I'm not going to divide over that. I'm not going to divide with a brother and sister unless there's an actual moral or doctrinal violation. I'm certainly not going to, you know, put political party flags up and try to divide. But we must be able to talk to each other because these are very serious issues. I'm telling you, this racism thing is ultimately something that I think we can all agree the devil wants to divide and destroy. The devil wants to divide and destroy, and we must be on guard and communicate honestly, and both sides say, if I've got a blind spot, I want to see it so I can repent before the Lord and have a whole heart and be righteous. Another reminder, our special resource offer this week is one of the most important we've ever put together. My teaching series on sickness and healing. What does the Bible say about this? What are wrong extremes? What are right beliefs based on Scripture? What can we expect today? 16 lectures, 24 hours. It's a complete class. Plus my thick textbook, Israel's Divine Healer, which gets into this in massive depth. All of this together for just $35, and we'll pay the postage. So a significant savings and a great resource. But call today to order at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, as brothers and sisters in Jesus, let us be open to constructive criticism. Let us be open to seeing blind spots in our own lives so that we can step higher, reflect Jesus, and demonstrate unity to the world. If not now, when are we going to do it? Once again, the racism charge has been raised regarding opposition to our president, We'll tackle it head on today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I planned on getting into some other things in this hour on the broadcast. However, the first hour heated up into some very important discussion. The issues are so important that I feel we've got to continue the discussion now. I invite you to weigh in. I'm going to tell you exactly what we're talking about. I invite you to weigh in if you passionately agree with me, if you passionately disagree with me. But we're going to talk through these issues in a civil and constructive way so that we can grow in the Lord as brothers and sisters. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. In fact, you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, here's what we're talking about. Yeah, I have been hearing for some time now that whenever there's criticism of President Obama, that it's racist and people are just attacking him because he's black. And it's been concerning me for a number of reasons. It's been concerning me because many people who voted for him, who highly approved of him earlier in his term, are not happy with him now. And they voted for him. Skin color was not an issue to them when they voted for him. And yet, when now that they're differing with him, skin color becomes an issue? Nonsense. Then there's some very inflammatory comments by actor Morgan Freeman that aired on Piers Morgan show. I read them before the show, and then actually it aired Friday night. And very inflammatory comments that he made about Tea Party and racism, and that's why they're against President Obama. Well, then lo and behold, a lot of these Tea Party people involved in the Florida straw poll voting just a couple days back, lo and behold, they overwhelmingly vote for Herman Cain, a black man. Isn't that fascinating? We're being told that there's this strong conservative criticism of President Obama because he's black. No, there's strong conservative criticism of him because of his policies. Just like when there was strong conservative criticism of President Clinton, it wasn't because he was white or it wasn't because he was male. It was because he was Democrat and liberal. And the strong Democrat liberal criticism of George Bush wasn't because he was white. It wasn't because he was male. It was because he was Republican and conservative. And back and forth it goes. So lo and behold, these conservative voters, many of whom would identify as being part of the Tea Party, which I can't fully explain the goals, values of Tea Party. I've never been to a meeting or anything like that, although I do know that it's more multi-ethnic than many people would represent. Lo and behold, they cast their vote overwhelmingly. I mean, more than double what Rick Perry got. In fact, the voting for Herman Cain was so overwhelming that he got more than Rick Perry and Mitt Romney combined. I guess Perry, Mitt Romney, probably Michelle Bachmann, combined. Wow. Isn't that extraordinary? You're going to say that the people that voted for Herman Cain can be racist. So here's what concerns me, that within the body, people still are believing that if there is criticism of President Obama, it is based on race as opposed to based on policy, based on moral issues, based on things like that. That to me is a dangerous stronghold that can only bring division. Now look, I have no problem criticizing issues in American history and talking about sensitivities that black Americans will have to our history that white Americans don't have. That's not the issue to me. The issue is what's going on with our president. We'll listen to what Morgan Freeman said when we come back, and we'll take your calls. Do you agree or disagree with what he had to say?
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, save. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. I'm opening up a volatile issue because I love the multi-ethnic nature of the body. When I minister around the world, I love ministering in different cultural settings and just have such a deep sense of identification with the people where I go. And God willing, December will be my 18th trip to India. By the way, it's a long journey to get where we go in India. 18 times is a lot of times. Deep love for the people there in India. Their skin color is different than mine. Their culture is different than mine, but we have this amazing unity in Jesus. Boy, we've had amazing times in Korea and South Korea. What, 11, 12 trips over there. It's also a pretty long trip. Again, different culture, different background, different ethnicity, but incredible unity we enjoy in Jesus. I've been to Germany a dozen times. And, you know, think of German persecution of the Jews and all this. I have such solidarity with the German Christians there. Been to countries like Nigeria and Kenya. And just as the celebration in the Lord was taking place, boy, did I just felt so at home. I hate to see race being brought up as an issue within the body. It was Dr. Martin Luther King who many years ago said that 11 to 12 on Sunday mornings is the most segregated hour in America. And I have friends, a pastor of a large church in the Atlanta area, a board member of mine, over 6,000 members completely committed to multi-ethnic ministry and finding oneness in the body and celebrating our diversity as a way to celebrate our unity. That's why it grieves me all the more when people have legitimate issues with our president and legitimate concerns or simply concerns that are real to them, that the moment they raise those concerns, they are called racist. That's what concerns me. 866-34-TRUTH. So this is Morgan Freeman on the Piers Morgan Show Friday night.
Has Obama helped the process of eradicating racism, or has it in a strange way made it worse?
Made it worse. Look. The Tea Partiers who are controlling the Republican Party stated, and what's this guy's name? Mitch O'Connell. Is that his name, O'Connell?
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, yeah.
Mitch McConnell. Their stated policy, publicly stated, is to do whatever it takes to see to it that Obama only serves one term. What underlines that? Screw the country. We're going to do whatever we do to get this black man. We're going to do whatever we can to get this black man out of here.
But is that necessarily a racist thing?
It is a racist thing.
Is it not just Republicans? Wouldn't they say that about any Democrat?
No, because they would have gotten rid of Bill Clinton if they could have.
But they tried.
They did try, but still.
Oh, come on. What nonsense. The reason that people want to get rid of President Obama is the converse reason of people want to get rid of President Bush. In other words, there's passionate disagreement. There's strong disagreement. Disagreement with his economic policies, disagreement with his pro-homosexual activism, disagreement with his pro-abortion stand. There are people who voted for Obama, and they're very upset with him because they feel he's not gotten us out of Iraq and Afghanistan and instead sent us into Libya. There are others that voted for him that had certain idealism that he's going to change this and change that. When it didn't happen, they're upset with him. When they voted for him, skin color was not an issue. When they're criticizing him, skin color is not an issue. The idea that the Tea Party controls the Republican Party, I don't know how much truth there is to that. But bottom line is many Tea Party people support Herman Cain, who's black. The race was not the issue when Mr. Obama was elected. Race was not the issue for the whites and the Hispanics and the Asians who voted for him. Race was not the issue. Look, a tremendous number of Jews, the great majority of Jews voted for him. White Jews voted for him. Race was not the issue. Why is it the issue now when some of those people criticize him? And certainly, when the same conservatives were passionately opposing, say, Hillary Clinton, it wasn't because she was a woman, because they were favoring Sarah Palin. Friends, I think we've got to look at this rationally. We've got to look at this rationally. And you know, we have to recognize, I've had several black callers in the first hour, and they all did not vote for Mr. Obama. And they were told, you know, one, you're selling out, or you're too white. These are black Americans who were told this by other blacks in their church. And one woman said that her black friends said, I'm voting for him because he's black. Now, if it was a matter of a public example, let the nation see that we have a black president. Let the nation see, let the black American see, here's a mom and dad together with kids, and set that example instead of broken homes. Let's make a strong statement against racism, against our history of segregation and slavery. And I don't agree with a lot of his policies, but I think these other issues are more important. I don't agree with that, but fine. I could understand that. But now if someone criticizes him, it's not because of race. Or if he's, does he have to be ever reelected, and before the problem is solved of we've had a black family in the White House? Did you hear what I'm saying? At what point do we say, okay, that's been demonstrated. It's been demonstrated that we can elect a black president. It's been demonstrated that race is not this issue now, that the majority of voters for Mr. Obama were white voters. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it in as president. But our black caller said that when she has black friends who say they're going to vote for him again because of his skin color, she said, that's racist. I agree with that. And that's divisive in the body. We need to step higher. Now, feel free to call if you differ with me. I've been fascinated that virtually every black caller we had so far agreed with me on this, and every white caller we had so far agreed with me on this. Feel free to differ. I say there are plenty of areas where you can say to me, this is a problem. I'll say, you're right. The shoe fits, I'm going to wear it. This is a problem. I'll say, you're right. I've got a blind spot there. Thank you. I'm saying there are blind spots on the other side here that need to be looked at. Paris in Bergenfield, New Jersey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I think the issue of the racist viewpoint is coming from what we would consider the transitional generation. These are people like my parents who are in their 50s and their 60s, and they went through the process of integration. These people have experienced and heard rhetoric that was used to disguise racism in the past. And I think some of them are to the point to where they can't really trust bureaucrats. They really don't know who to trust.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever something is said, like what we heard from Morgan Freeman in his soundbite, in the soundbites he's referencing, they kind of lean more towards what has historically happened. And I really think that it's the American history that's created this environment of distrust. Now, some of the people learn to move on and grow, and they can, you know, they can fully integrate themselves. But I think on both sides of the race spectrum, some people just will never change, so they have these ideas. And the ideas of these things being, you know, the rhetoric being hidden is not something that's, you know, 20 or 30 years old. You know, in the case of, Trent Lott's statements at Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday party in 2002, it's just kind of that example of some of the things where people just don't know, and then they come out and you hear what's happening. So I really think that trust is the big issue. That's what I really think that it comes
down. You know, Paris, I think you're hitting on important issues, and that to me is why I raise things so that we can have a conversation, and I raise them as someone in the body who loves the multi-ethnic nature of the body and, you know, thinks somehow within the church, maybe I'm being idealistic, but somehow within the church, we got to find ways to transcend some of the old ways of thinking and transcend some of the wounds of the past. I've been in so many meetings where there's repentance towards both sides and whites reaching out to repent of past history and recent history and look for blind spots and reaching out to Native Americans and so on. And most of the large gatherings I'm in are very, very intentionally multi-ethnic. And yet this issue comes up and is so incredibly divisive. But Paris, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the observations. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, feel free to differ with me. The only thing I ask is that we have an intelligent discussion. If you agree with me or if you disagree with me, there's an interesting clip from Herman Cain when he's asked about this quote from Morgan Freeman directly. We'll play that again shortly. If you're just tuning, just tuning in, I covered these issues in the first hour and was planning to move on to some other ones, but the response, the input, the interaction was such that I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about this one more hour, open this up to our other cities that are listening across the nation now. So we'll be back with your comments and hopefully some insights and observations from yours truly when we return.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Look, we have never avoided controversial issues here on the broadcast. We have never avoided things that could potentially be divisive. The goal is to talk them through. How are we going to make progress if we dance around volatile issues? What we have to do is learn how to talk them through as brothers and sisters, and if you're not a believer in Jesus, just to talk them through rationally as fellow human beings. So again, there were white people, and I'm just using white and black here to be as simple as possible. There were white men and women who voted for President Obama for various reasons. Now they're not going to vote for him. It's not because they're racist. If they're racist, they wouldn't have voted for him in the first place. If they were racist, they would have said, no way will I vote for a black man. Many of them were excited to vote for a black man. I really wanted to be able to vote for the first black president. I would have considered that such an honor. I would have considered that such a statement that we were making to the world that knows our history very well. I would have been thrilled to vote for, here's a married man, not been divorced, with kids, with the Republican candidates that were pro-family. Many of them were divorced. I so wanted to be able to vote for him, but I couldn't in good conscience. And if anyone would dare associate it with racism in my life, that would be a satanically false accusation, because that's not who I am. That's never been who I am. And I would joyfully vote for a black candidate that held to the values that I held to, joyfully. So to me, it's of grave concern when within the church, people will perceive criticism of President Obama as being racist. It's one thing if someone used, you know, you got a Ku Klux Klan hat and you're denouncing him for his color, some horrifically sick, ugly thing like that. But when, look, you have liberals that are not happy with him for various reasons. They voted for him. They want to see him reelected, but they're not happy with him. 866-34-TRUTH. Jeff in Boston, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mike. You're doing an excellent job. God bless you. Now,
Thank you.
I'm going to share this with your audience, which is, if you vote for Obama again, knowing what he's doing, you might as well be voting for the Antichrist. Might as well be voting for Robert Mugabe, Fidel Castro, and all the other dictators around the world. And if you want to know where America's going to, look at Zimbabwe. Look at the Sudan. We're heading for below third world status. America will implode from within and destroyed by racial conflict. And you know what? I love Alan Keyes, and I love Jesse Lee Pearson. There's good black people out there, but Obama's not the man. Stop going for the bacon, people. God bless you, Mike, and have a good day.
Hey, Jeff, one thing. I'm going to be in Boston, week and a half, 2 weeks from now. God willing, October 5th. We'll have a listeners' rally, radio rally at night for our listeners. So everyone that listens to me on WEZE, I know that was the last hour for many, but if you're listening to WEZE, don't forget to join me. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Yuritsa in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thanks. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks. I just wanted to ask you, do you at least recognize that there are some racism going on against Obama? Like, I believe racism is still alive and well, but it's a silent form of racism. Do you at least acknowledge that?
Oh, I'm sure there's some racist criticism of the president because you have racists in America.
Right.
I'm also sure that there was racist criticism of President Bush. You know, there's racism in America all around. You've got Hispanic racists, white racists, black racists, Asian racists, Jewish racists, you name it. So some of them are going to be racial in their criticism, sure. But yeah, all the criticism I'm hearing is based on policies. You know, they don't like his economic policy. They don't like the Obamacare. They don't like his stance on abortion. They don't like his stance on homosexual issues. That's the only thing I'm hearing. And if something was racist, man, I'd shoot it down instantly. But, of course, I'm sure there's some out there. Who could deny that?
There's the ones with Senator Reid. I don't know if you remember back in January 2010, he was describing Obama like, he said something like, he's a Negro with no accent, with no Negro accent or something like that. And it was just, there's a lot of racism going on, I feel, against Obama.
But that was for Obama. Senator Reid is Democrat and was a supporter.
Yeah, but what he said was more
was
hurtful
definitely wrong.
Than helpful.
Absolutely wrong. And Joe Biden made a derogatory
exactly.
comment about him, too.
He's clean and articulate.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Exactly. But you're 100% right. I totally agree. Those were unfortunate and inappropriate comments. Absolutely. But those were the people supporting him.
Supporting him, yeah.
Just think if it had been a Republican that said that, they would have been blasted. But you're 100% right. Comments like that are absolutely uncalled for, totally wrong.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's also comments against him that use that type of tone. You know what I mean? It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not only
I'm sure it's
people.
Out there.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you raising those things. And again, it shows that there are issues. People still have – the last thing I would say is that there are no racial issues out there. I never think that. So
okay.
I appreciate you bringing those up. My issue is the large-scale criticism has to do with policies. And I remember towards the end of Bush's presidency, I thought, yikes, I've never heard such hatred against a president
yeah.
that I can remember. I'm sure depends on which media you're listening to, you know?
Absolutely.
So, hey, thank you for calling in and sharing those things. I appreciate it.
God bless.
God bless you. 866-3-4-TRUTH. Do I have time for one more call? Let me try quickly. Daniel in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I agree with you on that. You know, having a black president, you know, I'd put one in too if you know, his policies and stuff reflected more of a, you know, a Christian, you know, walk, you know, with Christ. And my mother and father-in-law, they didn't even bother with his policies. I was there when they inaugurated him in. And, I mean, they were clapping, I mean, hysterically. And I asked them, you know, what was the thing that you liked most about Obama? They couldn't say one thing other than the fact that they wanted to see a black man, you know, take presidency. And so they both voted for him. Just, I mean, not even knowing anything about him politically because they're not politically, you know, minded. And, I mean, they just wanted to see, you know, a minority, you know, make White House.
In principle, especially given our history, I don't have a problem with that if that outweighed so many other issues. You know, the dream of having a black president. I had a guy I worked out with in the gym, helped train with me some time ago, right after President Obama was elected, a black man, and he said, man, I never thought I'd see this happen in my lifetime. He was just so moved by it, you know, that it meant so much to him and to his circle of friends and to what he could show his kids as they were growing up. I understand it was massive and positive in that sense, and I can respect that. What I can't respect is when any criticism of him now. Come on, he's been in office now. He's elected. Aren't we allowed to differ? I was told just give him a little time exactly. and then we can differ, but it seems we're not allowed to. But, yeah, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. We'll be back. We'll hear what Herman Cain had to say, take more of your calls, and stir the waters in a constructive way here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here on the line of fire, we do not shy away from controversial issues, but we tackle them in ways that are constructive. We tackle them in ways where we can air our differences in a mature way, where we can hear each other out, where we can expose blind spots. I've had callers call in and bring up perspectives I haven't thought about. I've been able to raise perspectives to listeners. That's our goal. Where there are blind spots, let's expose them. And let's be willing to put the hot button issues on the table. I was grieved and surprised a few years back during the presidential primaries, the Democratic primaries, when I took issue with then-Senator Obama about some of his moral viewpoints. A caller called in and said, why do you have to bring up race all the time? It happened to be a black caller who felt I was bringing up race. I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you're always bashing Obama. I said, first, I'm not. Second, I just took issue with Senator McCain a couple of days before that. I said, and third, there are other black candidates that I like in other parties, like Alan Keyes, for example, said nothing to do with black or white, just like agreeing with Sarah Palin and not agreeing with Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with male, female. But I saw that there was this strong perception, and rather than just disagree, I said, okay, let's see how we can dialogue this through. So this has been on my mind ever since, and I raised concerns back then. I said, I really want to see a black president in the White House. I really would love to see that in my lifetime. I'd love to be able to vote for him or her, for that matter. I would love to be able to see that happen as a great testimony in our nation and as something that could even bring further encouragement to the black American community. But I can't vote for Mr. Obama in good conscience for many reasons. And if he's the wrong candidate, it's only going to hurt race relationships in the coming years, not help. I said those things early on. I said those things before he was elected. I pray for him. I pray that God will make him the greatest president we've ever had in our history. Okay? I want to see God get hold of him and turn his heart and use him to bless America. That's what I would love to see. However, I have grave concerns about the direction of the country, and it has zero to do with race or racism. So when Morgan Freeman, the actor, on Friday night on Piers Morgan's show on CNN says that the Tea Party wants to get rid of Obama because of racist issues, they don't care if it destroys the country. Well, no, they feel he's destroying the country. And there are many Tea Party people who support Herman Cain. And Herman Cain won the straw poll in Florida a couple days back overwhelmingly as a black man. So listen to what Herman Cain said when he was asked about this on Fox News. You'll hear some background noise because this was a live convention he was at. You hear that in the background.
Morgan Freeman, the actor, has been very critical of Tea Parties and said that what they're doing is racist based, and going after and unseating Obama has at its underpinnings racism. I'm paraphrasing here, but what do you make of that argument?
Well, first of all, I doubt if Morgan Freeman, with all due respect, who is a great actor, has he ever been to a Tea Party. Most of the people that are criticizing the Tea Parties, Neil, about having a racist element, they have never been to a Tea Party.
Well, wait a minute. So he has he's played a president of the United States.
Oh, great. Yeah, in a movie. This is real life out here on the campaign.
Are you offended by that?
No, I'm not offended by it. I just think that it's sad that they are so short-sighted in really understanding what the whole Tea Party citizen movement is all about. I'm not offended by it because it doesn't slow down my momentum. It doesn't slow down the reaction that I get from people. They know that I bring my message from the heart and the head, and they're responding to it.
All right. I fully agree with what Herman Cain said there. And I want to point out to you that many people who voted for President Obama are now unhappy with him. They voted for him. Race was not an issue. They're unhappy with him. Race is not an issue. Yet some people voted for him based on race. And if you criticize him based on race, they reject the criticism. That, to me, is racist and unhealthy. We'll talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls on both sides.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is it right to say that the sharp criticism of President Obama is racist? I don't doubt that there's some racist people out there, but the vast majority, 99.9% of criticism I've heard of President Obama has to do exclusively with his policies, exclusively with his moral stance, exclusively with his health care stance, exclusively with his economic stands, exclusively what he's done or not done with the wars overseas, Israel, and on and on. That's all that has to do with, and a lot of it is Democrat versus Republican. And look at the criticisms against others. If you have the Black Caucus rejecting white Republican candidates, am I going to call them all racist, or am I going to say that they have different value systems? I mean, it would be an ugly accusation to immediately say, well, you don't want to vote for white candidates because you're racist. But that, to me, is the divisive rhetoric that's floating around, and I find it to be dangerous, especially when it's in the body. And if we have a stronghold in our thinking and we can't see past that, then we need to tear down that stronghold. And hey, if I've got a blind spot, expose it. As long as you're willing to let me expose a blind spot in your end, we can have an intelligent conversation. Brett in High Point, North Carolina, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am not in agreement with Morgan Freeman, but rather against it. I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, but I see his comments as just another fire under the racist flame. I believe truly, and I don't mean this harshly against African Americans, I think that they more or less are keeping it alive, racism, by making statements like that. It gets people thinking, hey, yeah, and then whether they know what the situation is or not, they may just say, well, I'm going to agree with him because, you know, he's Morgan Freeman or whatever. I truly believe that it's being the fans of this flame are being blown up by people like Morgan Freeman. You know, I love Herman Cain. I absolutely love him, and I hope he makes it through. I love President Obama until I saw some of the things he was, you know, we won't get into it, but...
Right, so Brett, you're presumably a white man.
I am.
And you love Herman Cain, a black man.
Love him.
If he was our candidate of choice, would you have any problem voting for him?
Absolutely not.
And you would not vote. So you would not vote for President Obama. It's got nothing to do with race. Would vote for Herman Cain. It has nothing to do with race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Brett. Thank you for weighing in. Look, I totally agree with you that these comments are inflammatory, negative, dangerous. And rather than celebrating the fact that we crossed, we overcame that hurdle of saying that we can have a black president of the United States, the highest office in the land and arguably the most powerful person in the world, that we could elect a black man, mainly the majority of voters being white, obviously, could vote for a black man. We've overcome that hurdle. Now let's move forward instead of being so hypersensitive that criticism of him is perceived as racist. I'm with you, sir, on that, but I'm happy to hear from folks who differ. Hakeem in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having my call.
You're very welcome.
I wish that I was calling to have a counterpoint because I much prefer to do that, but I don't. I just wanted to say that as an African-American, I agree with virtually everything that was said, and my wife and I talk about this all the time, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the color of someone's skin, but you echoed my sentiments earlier about wanting to have a reason to vote for a minority candidate. It didn't necessarily have to be black, but a minority that stood for my values, which are conservative values, and unfortunately, the African-American community has believed so many lies for so long that the Democratic Party has put forth handouts and all these other things, and so they consequently they continue to support these candidates as long as you have a D in front of your name. And the previous caller, I mean, he couldn't have been more right. And as an African American conservative, he doesn't offend me at all. He may offend African Americans who do play the race card, because a lot of them do. I mean, it's just a fact of of life, I guess, in this country. But it goes. I have so much to say. Unfortunately, I know I have a very limited amount of time, but it is so deeply rooted in African African American community to vote for a Democratic or liberal candidate,
mm-hmm.
That it even supersedes, unfortunately, a lot of times some of our Christian values, which should supersede, the candidate that we vote for. Our values right. system should, be in place. And unfortunately, there's relatives that who will no longer speak to you. You know, we experienced that. Unfortunately, it's very sad. You know, don't return calls because we had this political discussion, and it's really, really sad. So I have lost a lot of respect for Morgan Freeman, to go back to that point. He was one of my favorite actors. But to use that kind of rhetoric and come across and, you know, blaming everything on racism, you hear it every day on the news. And, most people are really sick and tired of it. So
it's so harmful. Again, I agree with you. I appreciate that perspective. And I have no problem looking at American history and pointing out all the white racism that we've had, and even in churches and major Christian leaders supporting segregation a generation ago. I have no problem calling that out, but we have to recognize that there can be another side to the story, that there can be the race card being played on the other side, and we have to renounce that all across the board, regardless of how we end up voting. We have to recognize this and renounce it and step higher for sure. By the way, I'll be making my first trip to Hawaii in a couple of weeks, and we've got a listeners rally that'll be coming up. I'll be announcing that more for our folks in Hawaii, hopefully to get to meet many of you face-to-face. Cool. So I've been overseas more than 100 trips around the world, but this will be my first time out of America into Hawaii, so maybe I'll get to meet you, sir.
Out of the continental U.S., yes.
Yeah, all right. God bless you.
But I just can I say one more thing?
Please, go ahead.
It starts with parenting, and my father never taught me to use race as a crutch. And I think if African Americans or any minority would use that to teach their kids from a young age, then maybe we could get past some of these things and be able to look at candidates for who they are and what they stand for, not what color their skin is. So,
yeah, and absolutely. 100%. And, as a Jew myself, the vast majority of Jews vote Democrat. That's for a whole other set of reasons, but the vast majority of Jews do. But when you mention the parenting thing, it's funny. I was on Long Island over the weekend in New York and took my mom and sister out for birthdays with some more of the family. My mom turned 89. My sister was turning 60. And we were talking about some things, like if people will call me homophobic, and my sister's not a believer, but we were just discussing this. I said, look, our first organ teacher, my sister was 8, I was 5, he was an openly gay man with his partner, who was a beautician. And they would come out from the city to the island to our house for the organ lessons and then stay for dinner. So this is my first organ teacher. Then what I had forgotten, though, was my second organ teacher was a black man married to a white woman. And they got ostracized over those issues in society as it was then. But we were just thinking, I grew up in a certain environment, and I'm not comparing interracial marriage with gay quote marriage, but we grew up in a certain environment, and it is interesting that the perspectives of the parents are very much going to make their way down to the kids. But you raised the important thing of not feeling disadvantaged, and you're absolutely right. If folks could overcome that, whatever the background is, everything would be much more healthy in their own lives.
That's
so
one positive I would say about Obama, is that he does portray the family unit, for
absolutely.
Black community.
Absolutely.
And so when you said that, that really stuck out. And I was like, that is the one positive thing I could say about him, actually.
Yeah, there's a good model of a married man raising his kids, not divorced, devoted to the family. Yeah, that to me is an absolute positive, despite all the other negatives. All right, thank you for the call, sir.
Okay.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. We do have one line open if you want to try to squeeze in. Catherine in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Is this Catherine on?
Yes, it's you, Catherine.
Yes. Okay, I didn't hear you call my name. Okay, I just wanted to weigh in on the issue. I disagree with what Morgan Freeman said as well. And the thing I guess I want to add to it is that being African American and been conservative since the second term of Reagan when I became a Christian in 1983. And I began to see the issues from the Word of God, the issue of abortion, the issue of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the way I voted. It changed the way I began to see the issues. And now, living in the midst of what's going on, my heart's concern is that I see my people still being racist themselves.
Hey, tell you what, stay on the line, Catherine. I want to come back to you on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Thank you.
Okay.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're having a constructive conversation about the issues of race and criticism of President Obama. I've carried this on for 2 hours now because of the importance of it and the volume of calls we were getting. And interestingly, everyone who identified as an African-American or Black American, every single one that called agreed that there is much criticism of President Obama that has nothing to do with racism and that it is wrong to pull the race card in this way. So back to you, Catherine, in Atlanta. You were saying that as a Black American woman who now votes conservatively, that you're concerned to still see, did you say racism among your people? How did you phrase that?
Yes, that's how I phrased it. When you talk with them, you understand that they've still not been able to forgive. And I often ask the question, how is it that we can believe that God can forgive us and tells us we must forgive, and yet this is the one thing we refuse to forgive, is racism that has been perpetrated against us.
And what kind of responses do you get to that question? Because that's really a bottom line thing for believers, isn't it?
It is. And, I know. But because it hurts so deeply, it's as though it's like they're not willing to, or they don't think that they can, or they think that if they just say they have forgiven, it's enough. But the moment some issue comes back up, you see the anger and the fire again in their eyes. So you know that we've not really dealt with it as we should. Also, with the issue of civil rights, one of the things I came to understand from the Word of God is that it was like the fiery serpent that was put on the bronze pole. It was like a means given by God to use to free us. But now we have turned around like in Hezekiah's day, and we are now worshiping the means instead of worshiping the God who gave us the means.
Yeah. You know, Catherine, there's you put it a certain way that I haven't heard before, but that is very insightful. It has grieved me as I've followed the history of civil rights, read up about it. And bear in mind, as a Jew, I've gone to Germany and ministered to Germans and have great love for them. You know, we've had to forgive in atrocities committed against us.
Yes.
So, you know, I can relate on that level. But it grieved me that before the civil rights movement, the family values and things like that were much higher in the Black American community than after the success of the civil rights movement. You know, the promiscuity, kids born out of wedlock, just so many other things have gone down. And I've always tried to figure out how that happened because the goals were noble. The goals were right. There were so many horrific injustices against Black Americans from the white community. And yet when the goals were realized, rather than forward progress, it seems to have been backwards in other ways.
Yes. And also from our pulpits, there is not coming forth the clarity about these issues that need to come forth.
Hmm. Well, listen, I can
hear. I'm saying that as one who's in the black community, who has gone to different churches. I mean, I visited Michael Youssef churches and different ones. So I'm speaking this from something I know, and it grieves me. And the only thing I can say, and please don't take this offensively, is that we need for our white brothers. As a black Christian, need you to understand there has got to be more prayer on our behalf for this issue because it is a stronghold.
Yeah.
It is a stronghold.
I embrace that. If I could give you 100 issues in organizations and ministries I'm involved with that need help, need improvement, the same for my own life. Uh-huh. So when I see something among others that needs help, where I agree there is a stronghold here, absolutely, it behooves me then to pray.
Yes.
The last thing I'm doing is throwing stones and saying, let's flush this out, bring it to the surface so we can address it. But Catherine, I receive that even as a reminder to me to pray more deeply for my precious black American brothers and sisters that there can be freedom here.
Forgive me.
Oh, well, bless you, Catherine. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate the call very much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye.
All right. Jane in Atlanta, we're short on time, but please weigh in. Love to hear what you have to say.
Okay. Hello. Am I on?
You're on, Jane.
Okay. Hi. Thank you, Dr. Brown. I was really calling for one comment, but since I'm so short on time, I just want to make this one comment.
Please.
Please don't use this forum. You have a wonderful show. I recommend your show to all people. I'm an African-American woman. Please don't use this forum to insult the black race. I got angry. I'm sorry, especially the caller that just called. Black people consider the facts before they vote, at least the ones that I know. Now, did some vote for Obama because he was black? Probably so. But the vast majority of the black people that I know looked at the issues. We weighed the previous or the opponent as opposed to Obama. And we felt Obama was the best one for the job at the time. So all this about black people being so lost and racist and we don't forgive, please. I've gone to white churches where just after a few months, whites start to leave the church because they're too much.
Jane,
of a black
listen, I just had a conversation with a pastor about that today. That if you have a multi-ethnic church and more blacks come in, then whites start to leave, and that blacks are happy to have a white pastor, but whites aren't happy to have a black pastor. I'm with you on that, and. I never made what came up was a previous caller. Jane, just hang on. Let me just say this because I'm out of time. I want you to call back later in the week so we can talk about this more, all right? Because
the
last thing I would do is insult any group of people, especially people that I love. And if it came across like that anyway, we'll straighten out. But please call me back. Whatever I'm talking about,
sure
I'm going to put you on to talk further, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you. Hey, friends. We are out of time, but I want to commend to you a very important resource series we're making available this week. My entire lecture series on God the Healer, sickness, healing, what can we expect, what's for today, what's not for today, what are wrong extremes, what does the word say, in-depth, practical, plus my book on Israel's Divine Healer. It's normally discounted at $50. We're discounting it to $35 plus paying the postage, one of the most important series we have, practical, life-changing on sickness and healing. In fact, we're going to focus on that subject tomorrow. The number to call is 1-800-278-9978. To order, it's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, the series on God, our healer. My bottom line, friends, constructive dialogue is really important. Talking about sensitive, volatile issues is really important. So let us speak and let us listen and let us pray one for another and let us grow up into the image of Jesus.